Blog Talk Radio.
I'm excited. God has given us a great word this morning. You know, Jesus has told us in his word not to be deceived. We have so many out there these days with a new message that is not of God. Better take heed of what Jesus said. Jesus said it, not me. And all I can say is, don't be deceived. There's so many new ministries popping up, so much going on, that it's just to the point of absolute craziness. You know, I am grateful for the people in my life. I'm grateful for the saints that come in and speak, but speak a word, speak God's word, because, again, not about us, but about him. You know, Jesus didn't play. He told it like it was, and like it was, it was. And what he said yesterday is true today. It's true today. And he told us, don't be deceived. He told us where to go, where not to go, to look up, not go to the left, not go to the right. Even in the book of Samuel, which is where we will be this morning. Chapter 4 through chapter 5. Situation. Samuel, little kid. As a youth minister, I can just say, children keep it real. He heard the voice of God on yesterday, in our yesterday lesson. He heard the voice of God when he learned, because God had not spoken to them in a long time. He had not, because God was sick and tired of Israel. He do something for them, they slide back into rebellion and doing what they wanted to do. And God got kind of tired. God got a little sick and tired of being sick and tired, as we like to say. But this little boy, whose mother loved God so much that she gave her oldest son, and we all know that in those days, your oldest child was very important. That's where the inheritance went. It was a big deal to be the oldest. He was his mother's oldest son, but she dedicated him to God. She gave him to God. Eva would come once a year with his little outfit, his little priestly garb. She'd make it with his little child ephod on it. He was like too cute. I'm sure he was adorable. But this little boy heard the voice of God and told Eli what was going to happen to him and his sons because of their rebellion to God, because they didn't do what they were supposed to do as priests of God, sliding, dipping, diving, what was God. Come on now. I'm calling it like it was, doing some stuff. Jesus said, thousands of years later, do not be deceived. Don't be deceived. Folks was doing whatever they thought was right in their sight. The priest included. Comes this little prophet, this little boy who loved God and listened to his voice and told the Lord, learn how to tell the Lord, speak, Lord. And Eli told him to Samuel, go lie down. And it shall be if he calls you that you must say, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came, come on now, and stood, called at, but I love this word, and the Lord came and stood. He came in the presence of God. God came to the little boy. Said, I don't want to just either hear my voice. I want you to know that I'm here with you. He came and stood and called as other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel answered, speak for your servant is. So the question today is, are we listening as servants of God? Heavenly Father God, we come to you this morning with eyes open, ears open, and mouths closed, ready to hear what you have to say, God. Speak, Lord, for your servant hears. Lord God, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. For you, Lord God, are my strength, and you are my redeemer. And all I can say is thank you, Lord, for your grace and your mercy, for your goodness, for your kindness, for your love, God. For you are good and gracious. And I thank you, Lord, for allowing me to work in your kingdom, to read your word, to teach your word, to love your word, God, as I love you. For you are great and greatly to be praised. So I lift my hand this morning as I lift my heart, open and ready to receive whatever you have for me today, God. Speak through me, Lord, for your servant hears. Words, Lord God, that come through this word permeate someone's heart, mind, and spirit, that they will speak to you and hear your voice. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Giving honor to the Most High God, who is the source of my strength and the strength of my life, who is my friend. Hallelujah. I love God. He is my friend. Jesus is the best friend. What the song say? Jesus is the best thing that ever happened to me. That ever happened to me. I can say that he is the best thing that ever happened to me because he loves me in my good. He loves me in my bad. And he loves me in my downright ugly. Because God knows we all have our moments. But I'm grateful that I don't have a lot of ugly moments. Thank you, Jesus. Good moving this morning. I don't believe Mother Valerie is reading today. If she is, Mother Valerie, give a girl a hand so I can know that you are here and reading today. And Mother Valerie is not here yet and not reading today, but I'm sure she will be back with us on tomorrow. We had a very, very busy, busy day yesterday. We had Senior Day. Mother Valerie was definitely honored as one of the mothers of our church. And it was just a great day. We had food. We had fun. We had fellowship. And we had an awesome word of God to our senior citizens. So thanking Prophetess Connie Hurd for coming and preaching and giving some words of encouragement. And I heed the prophet's words. This prophetess is so genuine. She has spoken many times in my life And I can tell you everything that she has told me has come to fruition. And I'm grateful. I'm grateful that God has placed a prophetess and prophets in my life. So thank you, God. Thank you all. Let's get started. And the word of God. And the word of Samuel came to all Israel. Now Israel went out to battle against the Philistines and encamped beside Ebenezer. And the Philistines encamped in Ephek. Then the Philistines put themselves in battle array against Israel. And when they joined battle, Israel was defeated by the Philistines, who killed about 4,000 men of the army in the field. And when the people had come into the camp, the elders of Israel said, "Why has the Lord defeated us today before the Philistines? Let us bring the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord from Shiloh to us, that when it comes among us, it may save us from the hand of our enemies." They had made the Ark into an idol. Didn't ask for God to come in. They figured, well, if we bring the Ark in, we bring in God in. And, you know, no, they didn't pray. They said, well, let's bring the Ark in, because they had made the Ark into an idol. And it goes on to tell us. And so they wanted God in. So the people sent to Shiloh that they might bring from there the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of hosts, who dwells between the cherubim, and the two sons of Eli, Ephanah and Phinehas, were there with the Ark of the Covenant of God. And when the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord came into the camp, all Israel so loudly that the shouted so loudly that the earth shook. Now when the Philistines heard the noise of the sound, they said, "What does the sound of this great shout in the camp of the Hebrews mean?" Then they understood that the Ark of the Lord had come into the camp. So the Philistines were afraid, for they said, "God has come into the camp." And they said, "Woe to us, for such a thing has never happened before. Woe to us, who will deliver us from the hand of these mighty gods?" They still are looking at idols again. These mighty gods, them little g's. But there's only one God, and he is Jehovah. There are the gods who struck the Egyptians. These are the gods. Now understand it. One God. These are the gods who struck the Egyptians with all the plagues in the wilderness. Be strong and conduct yourselves like men, you Philistines, that you do not become of the Hebrews, as they have been to you. Conduct yourselves like men and fight. So the Philistines fought, and Israel was defeated, and every man fled to his tent. There was a great, very great slaughter, and there fell of Israel 30,000 foot soldiers. Also, the Ark of God was captured, and the two sons of Eli, Ophni and Phinehas, died. And again, remember one thing, nothing happens unless God allows it. God allowed the Ark to be captured by the Philistines. He allowed it. And Phinehas and Ophni, they had already been prophesied to die because they was crooked. They were not honorable. And they knew good and doggone well that they shouldn't have touched the Ark of the Covenant. They shouldn't have done anything with the Ark, as much dirt they was doing in the house of God. And let's keep it moving. It says, "Then a man of Benjamin ran from the battle line the same day and came to Shiloh with his clothes torn and dirt on his head. Now when they came, there was Eli sitting on the seat by the wayside, watching, for his heart trembled for the Ark of God. And when the men came into the city and told it, all the city cried out. When Eli heard the noise of the outcry, he said, 'What does the sound of this tumult mean?' And the man came quickly and told Eli. Eli was 98 years old, and his eyes were so dim that he could not see. Then the man said to Eli, I am he who came from the battle, and I fled today from the battle line. And he said, what happened, my son? So the messenger answered and said, Israel has fled before the Philistines, and there has been a great slaughter among the people. Also your two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, are dead. And the ark of God has been captured. Then it happened, when he made mention of the ark of God, that Eli fell off the seat backwards by the side of the gate, and his neck was broken, and he died. But the man was old and heavy, and he had Israel 40 years. Now his daughter-in-law, but not Phinehas, his wife, was with child, due to be delivered. And when she heard the news that the ark of God was captured and that her father-in-law and her husband were dead, she bowed herself and gave birth, for her labor pains came upon her. And about the time of her death, the women who stood by her said to her, do not fear, for you have borne a son. But she did not answer, nor did she regard it. Then she named the child Ichabod. The glory has departed from Israel, because the ark of God has been captured. Wow. And because of her father-in-law and her husband. And she said, the glory has departed from Israel, for the ark of God has been captured. Ichabod. Every time I think of Ichabod, I always think about Ichabod Crane and the Headless Horseman. You know, it's like all these crazy shows and dreams and books that they had out for us as kids. Those things were scary. They really were. If you stop and think about some of the books written by the Brothers Grimm, they were scary. All had a darkness about them. You know, when you stop and think about some things, it's like, why were they reading those things to us? But, hey, it is what it is. But this is what we need to be reading to our children. My grandson, I borrowed his children's Bible for children's church last week. And he looked at me like I had lost my mind. And he said, that's my Bible. I said, it sure is. Can I borrow it for tonight? And he said, as long as you take it back home. He didn't want his Bible left at church. He told me as long as I took his Bible back home. But he made sure that he got his Bible and put it in his hands, because that was his Bible. And I thought, wow, that is pretty awesome. He was very possessive of his Bible. That's my Bible. And I thought, you know, training up a child in the way he should go, that he knows that we read his Bible when he comes to visit. And so he loves to read his Bible. So I'm thankful to God that his sisters were the same way. You know, it's my middle granddaughter and the oldest, they didn't go to sleep when they visited until they had their Bible reading. And they would tell me, my youngest, she would say, oh, excuse me, Grandma. I said, what? She said, we haven't read the Bible yet. I said, you are so right. Let's read our words before we go to bed. She said, yeah, because you read it, so you need to read it to me, too. And I thought, oh, how sweet. Kids watch you. Believe me, they watch you. And that was one of the things that Prophetess Hurd spoke on yesterday, that her grandmother may not have been able to read, but every time she was with her, she sat down on the floor of her great-grandmother's house, and her great-grandmother would get her Bible, and she'd say, okay, in the beginning was the Word of God. You know, she knew the beginning of the Bible, that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. You know, and she knew, you know, John 3:16 again, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. You know, she had that down, and so she always gave those scriptures. So her grandmother would memorize scripture as she went to church. And that's when she would get her Bible and repeat those scriptures. because she wanted her granddaughter to know the word of God. And as we get back into our word this morning, 1 Samuel chapter 5, then the Philistines, and I love this, don't be deceived, y'all. You know, the Philistines thought they was all that. We done beat Israel. We done killed about 34,000 of them. We got the ark. We're going to show them who's God. We got this thing. They was being deceived. They thought they had it going on. They're about to get a reality check. So let's see what the reality check is. Then the Philistines took the ark of God and brought it in from Ebenezer to Ashdod. When the Philistines took the ark of God, they brought it into the house of Dagon and set it by Dagon. Dagon was their idol, their god, their little statue god. And when the people of Ashdod arose early in the morning, there was Dagon fallen on his face to the earth before the of the Lord. So they took Dagon and set it in its place again. And when they arose early the next morning, there was Dagon fallen on his face to the ground before the ark of the Lord. The head of Dagon and both the palms of his hands were broken off on the threshold. Only Dagon's torso was left of it. Therefore, neither the priests of Dagon nor any who came into Dagon's house tread on the threshold of Dagon in Ashdod to this day. But the hand of the Lord was heavy on the people of Ashdod, and he ravaged them and struck them with tumors, both Ashdod and its territory. And when the men of Ashdod saw how it was, they said, the ark of the God of Israel must not remain with us, but his hand is harsh toward us, and Dagon our God. Therefore they sent and gathered to themselves all the lords of the Philistines and said, what shall we do with the ark of the God of Israel? And they answered, let the ark of the God of Israel be carried away to Gath. So they carried the ark of God of Israel away. So it was after they had carried it away that the hand of the Lord was against the city with a very great destruction. And he struck the men of the city, both small and great, and tumors broke out on them. Therefore, they sent the ark of God to Akron. So it was as the ark of God came to Akron that the Akronites cried out, saying, they have brought the ark of God to us to kill us and our people. So they sent and gathered together all the lords of the Philistines and said, send away the ark of the God of Israel. Let it go back to its own place so that it does not kill us and our people. But there was a daily destruction throughout all the city. The hand of God was very heavy there. And the men who did not die were stricken with the tumors, and the cry of the city went up to heaven. Don't be deceived. Don't think that anything is better than God. They thought they looked, Dagon was all that. Dagon was all that. They got a reality check. As even the statue bowed down to the ark of God. Come on now. Broke up, bowed down, so tore up, a hot mess. They started getting tumors and all kind of stuff started happening. They're like, oh, no, this has got to go. Like, hey, the ark of God has got to go. They was like not playing there because they was like, oh, no, this is not working for us. You know, don't play. Don't mess with God. Don't have any other God before him. Don't think you can play with God. Israel thought, well, we'll just take the ark, the temple, and take it to war, and it's going to win us this war like it's done in the past. But they didn't know God. All they knew was this ark used as an idol and not the God it represented and not the God that was in it. God said, not today. And they lost it all. And then the Philistines, thinking they done did something, found out, this is another way. God, I'm sure, killed more than them 34,000 when the Ark of the Covenant was in with the Philistines. I bet they found out something new, too. So we just see Israel's God is the only God. And let's go back to some life lessons. And again, I thank, Dr. Charles Stanley and the life principles, daily Bible biblical principles for each day, which is the Bible that we are reading for this show, for this year, next year. I thank God for it, and I thank God for Dr. Stanley, and may he rest his soul. You will hear that frequently as we go through, because I admired so much Dr. Charles Stanley. I admired his wisdom, and I admired his words of encouragement. I just thank God for that mighty man of God, and pray that his words that he writes in these life examples and life lessons bless you as much as they have blessed me. And as we go forth, this is 1 Samuel 4:3. Let us bring the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord from Shiloh to us, that it may save us from the hand of the enemy. No religious artifact, I gotta say that. Thank you, Dr. Ceremony. No matter how sacred, can rescue us. Leaders thought that the Ark of the Covenant could save them, but it had no power to do so. God alone rescues. Hallelujah. God alone rescues. 1 Samuel chapter 4, verse 1. Samuel learning to hear God's voice as one of the mightiest prophets of the Old Testament. It's no coincidence that Samuel's first divine assignment called for him to learn how to hear God's voice, to recognize it for what it was. As 1 Samuel 3:1-10 tells us, a young Samuel entrusted to the care of Eli the priest was lying down one evening when the Lord spoke. At first, Samuel didn't know who he was hearing. He thought Eli was calling him. But finally, after Eli told Samuel 3 times that he hadn't called, Eli realized that it was the Lord. So he instructed the boy to respond, "Speak, Lord, for your servant hears." Isn't that a beautiful way to answer God? "Speak, Lord, for your servant hears." Eli taught Samuel how to listen to God, and Samuel became established as God's prophet. 1 Samuel 3:19-21, which I read earlier today. So when the Philistines captured the Ark of the Covenant and Eli, his 2 sons had died, Samuel knew that what to do. And Israel knew who to listen to. In the midst of great turmoil, Samuel was able to hear the voice of the one he loved and served faithfully. If we're going to be men and women of God, we too must learn how to recognize God's efforts to speak to us. However, we can't wait until the maelstrom strikes to do so. It's when we lie restfully in the quiet moments that we should turn our attention to God and say, "Speak, Lord," for a moment, that we can embrace the one who calls to us, and that we can reach our hearts to love and obey him. Hallelujah. "Speak, Lord, your servant hears." 1 Samuel 5:2, when the Philistines took the Ark of God, they brought it into the house of Dagon. The Philistines placed the Ark of the Covenant in the temple of Dagon to show that their God, that little g, had triumphed over Israel's God. However, God shows himself fantastically strong and showed that he was the only true God in the room. Bam, on your feet, lay it down at the feet of the temple. Come on now, didn't play. Took that statue, knocked it down first time. Just bow like it was bowing down to the God of Israel, the Ark of the Covenant. Then the next time, tore it up, head one place, hands one place, torso one place, to say, "Don't play with me. You know, this is an artifact, but I'm in it because I got to show you something. I'm here for a purpose and a reason, and I'm about to mess y'all up." And that's exactly what he did. The Lord was against the city with every great destruction. The Lord wanted the Philistines to know that what had happened did not occur by chance, but that he had been behind it all. God desires that the whole world acknowledge his glory, and he wants to use us to display it. Are you displaying God's glory today? What a word this morning. It is a great word. And as we go into our psalms today, we are in the 54th psalm, verses 1 through 7. To the chief musician with stringed instruments, a contemplation of David when the Zephites went and said to Saul, "Is David not hiding with us? Save me, O God, by your name, and vindicate me by, hear my prayer, O God. Give ear to the words of my mouth, for strangers have risen up against me. The oppressors have sought after my life. They have not set God before them enough. Behold, God is my helper. The Lord is with those who uphold my life. He will repay my enemies for their evil. Cut them off in your truth. I will freely sacrifice to you. I will praise your name, O Lord, for it is good. But he has delivered me out of all trouble, and my eye has seen its desire for my enemies." And when we go to this life lesson, it says, "I will freely sacrifice to you. I will praise your name, O Lord, for it is good." What does it mean to freely sacrifice to God? It means that we willingly and gladly align for God, knowing that it all belongs to him and that we can never outgive God. I said again, we can never outgive God. God brings it. He brings us everything we need when we need it. I was talking on yesterday. I'm on the praise team, and we have for casual Sunday, which is the fourth Sunday and youth Sunday, polo shirts to wear. And on last Sunday, not this past Sunday, but on youth Sunday, the fourth Sunday in April, we were supposed to wear a teal polo shirt. I could not find my teal shirt to save my being. And I said, I prayed. I said, "Lord, so God gave me something else to wear that was a light teal color." And, you know, I was fine, you know, because it wasn't that we had to wear the polo shirt. It's just that I wanted to wear the polo shirt. And some wore polo, some wore, you know, teal color shirts. I actually matched my youth choir, which was singing. And because I'm the director, so I matched them and not the praise team. I still sung on the praise team, but whatever. That's not the word that I'm trying to give this morning. But the word that I'm trying to give is, I laughed. I cracked up. I came in my room on Saturday. Now, understand, I tore my closet apart. Took almost everything out looking for this shirt. And couldn't find it. Could not find it to save my life. And so I said, and all I did was I prayed and I said, "Lord, obviously, it is not meant for me to wear this shirt on Sunday. So when it's time for you to give it to me, then, Lord, your will. You'll let it be. I'll find it." And that's all I said. I gave it to God. I left it alone. Now, we also wore teal on yesterday, but it wasn't our polo shirts. It was the women were wearing black and the men were wearing black and white. And the teal was an extra color. It was like that bold color that you put on to make what you have on pop, as the kids say. But anyway, I came into my room on Saturday night to get ready for bed, you know, get all my stuff laid out, make sure I have everything ready for church. And sitting at the end of my bed, again, bright as it can be, was my teal shirt that I couldn't find the week before. But there was sitting as if displaced by the hand of God. And all I could do, I didn't do anything. I just started laughing. I started laughing my head off. And I'm sure that if anybody had heard me, they said, "She done went crazy in there." I was just laughing hysterically. And then I just started praying. And I said, "Thank you, Lord, for the shirt. I appreciate it. It's going on this hanger where it's supposed to be in the first place. And, Lord, thank you for helping me find it." And I can't help but laugh because you have a funny sense of humor about answering prayers. You answer them, but you sure do make us look like we just stupid. Because it sure did. I felt like Now, how did I not see this shirt all week long? This is bull. And I don't know if one of my sons had it in their wash and brought it in or what. I don't know. I didn't ask. I would prefer to just believe that God set it there and brought it out of darkness because he has a sense of humor and he wanted me to know that he answers prayers, that he may not come when we want it, but he's always on time. So I have my teal shirt ready to go when I need to wear it. Thank you, God. I couldn't do nothing again, just laugh, because God's got a sense of humor. I'm sure that when they walked into that temple with Dagon, and there he is laying on the floor bowing down to the ark of God, they know what to do. Then when they come back and all the pieces are all over the place, they know what to do. They said, let's get this thing out of here. And then when them tumors started happening, they really didn't know what to do. Because God's got a sense of humor. You may think that you beat somebody. Now, God, you better take it back. Because God will get his revenge. The battle's not ours, family. It's always God. And never forget that. And as our proverb goes forth, it says, a scoffer does not love one who corrects him, nor will he go to the wise. A merry heart makes a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. And I've been there with a broken spirit, and I can do nothing more than thank God for putting me back together again. As I said, I was tore up from the floor up, a mess. I was a mess, and I still have messy tendencies. Because I have allowed myself at times in my life to go into that dark place that the enemy likes to take me of grief, and I have to shake it off and say, not today, Satan. You are not taking me down that road today. You know, different days that meant something to my late husband and I. And I mean, my husband's been gone for a lot of years. And it took me a lot of years to get over losing him. And I have to, and then there's on occasions, like my anniversary, you know, my birthday, Valentine's Day, you know, those days that, you know, we did special things. His birthday, my mother-in-law's birthday. You know, yesterday was the anniversary of my mother-in-law's death. And I did everything in my power not to think about it, not to go down that road, and I didn't. Because when I do, it takes me down into a place that I don't want to be. I go into a dark place, and I go into depression because I think about the things I've lost and not the things that I have. And I have to ask God's forgiveness. And I know it's like, wow, it just creates clutter in my mind. And which creates clutter in my home because your home reflects how you feel. And we need to make sure that we keep our home, just like our mind, clear of clutter. Do some downsizing. We got to downsize the places where the enemy can attack us because we cannot allow ourselves to be deceived. Jesus tells us in our word today, do not be deceived. So please join me in Luke chapter 21. It says, he looked up and saw the rich putting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor widow putting in two mites. So he says, why, truly, I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all, but all these out of their abundance have put in offerings for God. But she out of her poverty put in all the livelihood that she had. Then as some spoke of the temple, how it was adorned with beautiful stones and decorations and donations, he said, these things which you see, the days will not one stone shall be left upon another that shall not be thrown down. Jesus was telling them that Jerusalem temple is going to get destroyed. But they thought it was in his time. It wasn't. But it did happen. Jerusalem was tore up. Tore up. The temple was tore up. Thus the Dome of the Rock came in. The Crusaders came in. All these different groups of people came in, mainly looking for artifacts and trying to find things that was not theirs to find. And stealing, basically. And it says, so they asked them things, teacher, but when will these things be? And what sign will there be when these things are about to take place? And he said, take heed that you not be deceived. And I'm going to say it again, because this is not just a word for over 2,000 years ago. This is a word for today. All of us. And he said, take heed that you not be deceived. And I got to say it for that Holy Spirit, that third time. Take heed that you not be deceived. And that is the title of our word for today. For many will come in my name saying, I am he. And the time has drawn near. Therefore, do not go after them. But when you hear of wars and commotions, do not be terrified. But these things must come to pass first. But the end will not come immediately. You know, we know we got folks dying in Ukraine and Russia fighting over only God knows what. You know, when I thought about it, I'm like, what are they fighting for? And then you're right, just somebody wanting dominance over somebody else and wanting the food sources that they create, because they have a lot of farms in Ukraine, and they don't in Russia. Ukraine is a big source of wheat. Russia's oil. But when sanctions happen, you know, folks was like, well, you know what? It's all good. Because we tough enough, rough enough, strong enough, and understand, what are they doing? They're going into Africa. We better understand, keep an eye out for things. The Chinese and the Russians, they're going into Africa. They're building up the African continent. And I'm sure they're taking out as many resources as they can. Because, again, Africa is the richest place in the world as far as the continent. It has everything you could ever want. And we all know at one point in our history, what they wanted was the people to enslave them. But we're not going to digress. We're going to keep moving forward. And it says, and then he said to them, nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. Seeing it every day. And there will be great in various places and famine and pestilence. And there will be fearful sights and great signs from heaven. Come on now. What are they calling it? The UFOs are coming. And there may be aliens among us. You know, how many times are you hearing these things? You better understand. Folks are scared. We can't walk in fear. We walk in faith. But there's a lot of people that are afraid. They are afraid of their shadow. Afraid of everything. But mostly they are afraid that they are walking down the wrong path, but they continue to do so. You can't go to just any church. You can't go and sit down in any pew, especially in today's world where people are being deceived. When the pastor is preaching more politics than he's preaching about God. He's preaching about people more than he's preaching about God. He's telling everything about what's going on, but nothing about God. You're being deceived. When he allows politics and what party or membership you're in to determine whether you can be a member of the church, you're being deceived. And we need to understand Jesus has told us not to go there. He told us what to do. He says, but before all these things, they will lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and prison. Hallelujah. Again, prison industrial system all over the world, but mostly in this nation that's supposed to be under God. We have more prisoners than some countries have people. You will be brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake, but it will turn out for you as an occasion for testimony. Therefore, settle in your heart not to meditate beforehand on what you will answer. For I will give you a mouth in which adversaries will not be able to contradict. God's going to put what you need to say in your mouth, and that's what he does every day. When you decrease, he increases. And that's what we pray daily. Lord, increase as I decrease. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Speak to me, Lord. Let me hear you, Lord. Speak through me, Lord, that whoever sees me sees you in me. And he tells us, you will be betrayed even by parents and brothers, relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. And you will be hated for my name's sake, but not a hair of your head shall be lost. By your patience possess your souls. We got to be patient and know that God's got us covered. He's got us covered in our coming in and our going out. He loves us like that. Just as the imprisonment of the Apostle Paul turned out to be divine opportunities to testify to the gospel of Christ, Paul wrote, he wrote epistle after epistle. He was writing some letters from jail. You know, Martin Luther King, think this through. Reverend Martin Luther King, Jr., wrote some of his best letters from jail. Some of the most inspiring of his speeches and letters were written from jail. And all you can say is, wow. Wow, God. Look at this man. By you, not perfect. Martin Luther King was not perfect. But you know he loved God. And you know that the words that he was given to speak and to write came from God. As they say, you can feel it from the crown of your head to your pinky toe. And what Jesus said came from God. He had a divine appointment for that time and for this time. Jesus is coming back. Say, don't be deceived. Take heed that you not be deceived, for many will come in my name, saying, I am he. There's those out there right now claiming to be Jesus. There's what is a show out there called the Messiah. There's some guy claiming to be the Messiah, and I can't remember what state he's in. Maybe Florida or maybe somewhere else. But the bottom line, Jesus is not here. He already told you how it's coming. Don't fall for the okey-doke. Don't fall for the doomsday folks talking about you need to give everything you have because Jesus is coming back on, you know, February 1st, 2030. No. No man knows the day or the hour of the return of the Savior. And I tell you this. Stop acting like Jesus is coming back like he did the first time. When he comes back, read Revelation. He's coming back to do some gardening. He's coming back to till the land. He's coming back to get rid of the weeds. And they are going into the fire. And we need to understand we don't want to be a weed when Jesus comes back. You've been in the garden, and you've been weak and nourishment, and then you mess up and become a weed because you decided to go to the other side because it looks so much greener. And you find out that on the other side is nothing but a patch of weeds. And all of them are going into the fire. Luke 21:18, not a hair of your head shall be lost. Jesus said that though his followers might lose their lives for his sake, yet not a hair of their head would perish. He meant that nothing was left up to chance and that he would always remain in control. And that is our word for this morning. The Lord is in control. Take heed that you not be deceived. Take heed that you not be deceived. Stand on the word of God. And when you stand on the word of God, you don't have to worry about deception. Because when you know it yourself, you don't have to, God will put in your heart, that's not right. Carry your Bible to church. My Bible, I need a new, put a new Bible cover on, because it's looking pretty rough right about now. Tell you, I mean it. And as we go to our word for our prayer for today, from our 365 days of prayer, it says a glimpse. Surely there is a future, and your hope will not be cut off. Proverbs 23:18, NASB version. It says, God of all my days, in you is my hope. In the midst of challenges, I need the reminder that the story isn't finished. You're not done with me yet. I believe that when you are where you are is where I find the strength I need to keep going. When I'm tempted to give up and call it quits, fill me with your grace that empowers me to cling to you. When circumstances move and shake my life, I realize that you are the only sure thing I have kept, me that has kept me steady in your love, and give me eyes of faith that see the future that my weary mind cannot dream of. You are my portion, Lord. You are more than enough. You brought strength and satisfied breath. Breathe your life into me again today, reviving my soul to catch a glimpse of the goodness in store for me. Oh, I got to read that again. You are my portion, Lord, and you are more than enough. You both strengthen and satisfy. Breathe your life into me again today, reviving my soul to catch a glimpse of the goodness in store for me. And a question for today, family, as we get a word from Sister Carolyn, is what hope do you have for the future? What hope do you have for the future? And I say, look up. Jesus is coming, and he just wants us to be ready. Are you ready for the Lord today? Are you excited to be a child of God? I am so happy to know that I am loved by the Most High. Whatever God says, do, just do it. And watch him work in your life. And a word from my sister this morning is this. Good morning. There is nothing that you will ever go through whereas God is not with you. Hallelujah. He cares about everything concerns you. Have a more of God Monday. Have a more of God Monday. And do not be deceived. Make sure that you know that you know. And I tell you this, God is in the midst and he loves you more than you could ever imagine. Have a blessed day, family. Keep trusting in God. And I tell you this, he will never fail you. Have a great day. If there's anyone that has a word this morning, now is the time to speak because we are wrapped up and ready to go because I got to go to work. And I'm to God with you like I do every day. Take his smile, take his love, take the laughter that can only come from God. I'm blessed, and I love God, and I'm thankful. Thank you, thank you, thank you for your glory, God. I lift up my eyes into the hills, from which comes my help, because my help comes from the Lord. Thank you so much, family. Let us pray. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and your family. Have a blessed and wonderful day, because God loves you, and he's in the midst of all that you do. Have a great day. Join me tomorrow. I believe Mother Valerie will be with me tomorrow as we move forward in the Word of God. Again, thank you. God bless you. God keep you. And may his face shine upon you. Have a great day, family. It's a hey, time to go to work. And who do you work for? You work for God. So get up. Go to work. It's a wrap.